We're going to start this morning with the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. He's with me in studio here in Killarney. He's going to be speaking shortly to the annual conference of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation. Minister Donnelly, good morning. Thanks for calling into us.
Jerry, thanks for having me here. What are you delighted to be here.
What are you going to say to nurses this morning?
We're going to have a conversation about acknowledging the very significant challenges that they're raising. We know there's challenges in emergency departments. We know it's been a big issue here in Kerry. We know that it's not acceptable for patients, it's not acceptable for their families, and it's not acceptable for our nurses and all of our other healthcare workers who are working in the emergency departments. We're going to have a conversation about that and the types of things we're doing to alleviate that. We're also going to be talking about a lot of the progress that's been made in nursing and midwifery. So your listeners may be aware, certainly the delegates, I was with them last night for dinner, were very positive about an announcement I made yesterday, which is that we are fully funding and sanctioning hundreds more nursing roles right across the country, so that every hospital will now be able to achieve what are called the safe staffing levels. I met with the manager of the new chief exec, she's an amazing woman, Mary, of the local hospital, the Kerry Hospital.
University Hospital Kerry.
Last night, and her director of nursing, and gave them an assurance that they now have sanction to hire in a lot of extra staff, a lot of extra nurses into the hospital to achieve these safe staffing ratios.
It's not the only thing we're doing. How would you get around the recruitment problems, though? The issue of trying to attract them and keep them here. There have been difficulties in the past trying to recruit nurses to fill the roles you have, to open the beds that you need.
In the last 3 years, we've added 6,200 nurses and midwives to the HSE workforce. We've expanded the HSE by 20,000 people, believe it or not, since COVID arrived. It's the biggest expansion there's ever been in our public health service. It's very, very positive. So we're going to continue with that momentum. And as I was discussing with Mary last night, and as I was discussing with the delegates last night, they'll now be not only hiring new nurses in, but they'll be hiring them into hospitals where safe staffing is now sanctioned right across the hospital. And we know from the pilot projects, we know from the wards and from the hospitals where this is already done, that it makes a big difference for patients and it makes a big difference for nurses as well.
Will that alleviate the concerns then? And there are reports from the conference that 65% of nurses felt patient safety was put at risk very often in their jobs. And the burnout we heard about, the winter that just gone through.
One of the challenges for our nurses and midwives, and indeed for everyone working in healthcare, is they have just been at the forefront of the most difficult time anyone can remember in healthcare in terms of COVID, a 1-in-100-year pandemic. They were our frontline troops. They responded incredibly. I believe they represent the very best of us. However, they're tired. They're tired after it. And so my job and the job of Minister Foley and Brendan Griffin and those of us in government, our job is to make sure that we're investing in our health services at a level that's never before been seen, that we're expanding our health services at a level that has never before been seen. And that's part of the conversation we're having with the INMO.
Isn't there a problem with that, though? For all the expansion you're talking about and all the money that's going in and all the extra staffing that's going in, it probably should have been done a long time ago. We have demographical pressures that are only going to increase over the next number of years. People living longer, more older care needed, much more needed maybe in the community. And is that eating into the progress that you're making? That we need to have this done already because our system is coming under more pressure because there simply are more of us living longer?
There's no question, Jerry, but that we're playing catch-up. There is no question but that part of what I'm doing and part of what this government is doing is investing now at a level that hasn't been seen before. So, for example, the doctors, the nurses, all of our healthcare professionals are saying we need more beds. So we've added in the time of this government 1,000 more beds. We've several hundred more coming this year. And I'm in talks with government colleagues. And on top of that, another 1,500 beds built in a new way, much faster. And Kerry is one of the areas that I want to see some of those beds put in place. So you're absolutely right. Which is why we're expanding community care at a level that hasn't been seen before. We now have these fantastic primary care teams around Kerry. I'll be visiting the new Killarney Primary Care Centre site shortly. That's going to make such a difference to people in the area. So we're investing in home care, we're investing in primary care, community care, and at the same time, we're growing our hospital sector as well.
We're still seeing 700-odd people, you know, yesterday on trolleys, and a large part of that, and I spoke to a former chief of Cork Kerry Healthcare about his career and the issues that they have. A large number of people who are in our emergency departments, they're not there because of an emergency or an accident or a fall. They're there because of a gradual degeneration in their symptoms or their issues. They end up on a trolley for a week or so or a couple of days. They end up in a bed. They end up having to find an option after that, and that clogs up the whole system. So what's being done to fix that? Not enough, clearly, in the community to prevent them from having to be that option. The GPs say, sorry, nowhere else for you to go but into the system, into the ED in UHK in Tralee.
We're doing three things. The first two, I think, right to the core of your question, is we're investing in community care in a completely new way and at a level that hasn't been seen before. So, for example, it's not the Killarney Primary Care Centre, it's the Castle Island Primary Care Centre that we're looking at. So, for example, there's now 167 primary care centres around the country. We've hired about 2,600 extra healthcare professionals into community care. One of the things we're doing with GPs now, and we're getting very positive response from the GPs in Kerry and around the country, is they now have direct access to diagnostics. So to your very point, one of your listeners might have gone
Where will those diagnostics happen?
They're happening
in the ED, the hospital, or will they be in the community? So to keep them from the need of going into hospital for a weekend and, as Phil Nihay said in the programme, waiting till the Tuesday morning to get a scan from a Friday of a long weekend.
That's exactly right. So last year there were about, believe it or not, 250,000 extra scans done. So GPs now, if you go into your GP in Killarney, he or she might have said, look, you need a scan. It's not very, very urgent, but you need a scan. But the only way I can get you a scan is to send you into the hospital. They don't need to do that anymore. So now the GP can refer you directly for X-ray, for MRI, for all sorts of things, and then you go straight back to the GP. Another thing we're doing in the community now is we're giving new supports to the GPs around diabetes, around respiratory illnesses and cardiac illnesses. And again, what that's doing is it's giving the GPs options for their patients other than saying you have to go directly into the hospital. That's the first thing we're doing. The second thing we're doing is we're investing in the hospitals. So I have allocated, for example, into the Kerry Hospital, more staff. We're looking at more beds. We're looking at more capital build, more staff in the emergency department, more nurses. As of yesterday now, they've got sanction for a lot more nurses. They're very positive about the impact that's going to have. And then the third and final thing we're doing, Gerry, is we're investing in discharge. So one of the places I'm visiting today will be the new community nursing unit here in Killarney, 130 beds. What that means is that when people are ready to go home from the hospital will have more options to send people to an appropriate
and
level of care.
Should help alleviate the problem. Are you confident that this will work, that we won't be here in a year's time dealing with the same problems? A listener says, Gerry, asked the minister how he feels about an 8-hour wait in Tralee, A&E, and leaving without treatment feeling worse. And this goes along the lines of the figures that were released, that 14,000 people left emergency departments last year in the first 2 months of this year without being treated because they were so frustrated. Will you be able to crack the nut finally of that problem?
Can I say to that listener, that's not acceptable. And nobody in University Hospital Kerry would stand over that. Whoever your listener is and whatever they were dealing with, they should have been triaged. They may have been triaged. Mm. And then they should have had access to a doctor or a nurse or whatever the right healthcare professional was. Nobody should be leaving an emergency department without having been seen. Now, there may be some, as you said at the start, who shouldn't be there in the first place, actually, who should go to a GP. And there may be cases where patients are told, look, this is an emergency department. It's not urgent. We know you need care, but this isn't urgent. And can we suggest maybe you go to your GP? Sometimes that can happen. And sometimes that might be the right thing to happen. But nobody who needs emergency care should ever feel that they have to leave the emergency department. Now, this has been going on for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
Long before I got involved in politics. Will we solve all of this in 1 year? No. And I don't think anyone would reasonably expect that. But what we can say to people in Kerry is Minister Foley, Brendan Griffin, myself, all of us in government, we're investing in the healthcare services here in Kerry at a level that hasn't been seen.
Are you running
before.
Out of time to solve
and,
it? And are you running out of time in the tenure of this government to solve the problem? To make a dent in it, even?
No, it's not about running out of time. It's about saying this is an issue that has built up for decades. We've seen more progress now than has been seen in a very long time. So, for example, in good news, last year was the first year that the waiting lists fell, believe it or not, since 2015. This year is going to be the second year. You're aware of the Sláinte Care targets, basically saying that no one should wait more than 10 or 12 weeks. From the COVID peak to the end of last year, 150,000 less men, women and children were waiting longer than that. That's the kind of progress we're now seeing. That's the kind of progress we want to continue. And of course, when time comes for the election, Minister Foley, Brendan Griffin, myself, of course we will be saying there is an awful lot of progress being made, and we will point to this. But we have to be honest with people. You know, in healthcare, the first 2 years were dominated completely by COVID. Mm. And again, to acknowledge the work of our healthcare professionals, Ireland had one of the best performances to COVID out there. Our excess mortality rates, the number of extra people who died during COVID in Ireland, is one of the lowest in the world. And believe it or not, is 10 times lower than the UK. 10 times. And a lot of thanks to that goes to neighbours looking after each other, communities coming together, and to our healthcare professionals. So we've only had really a year of clear space in healthcare, and look at the progress that is being made.
Okay, there's a lot of progress that needs to be made as well in relation to GPs and GP cover and rural areas. The South Dock service here is under pressure trying to find and recruit GPs, maintain cover through the night. They're reducing services in some areas, and the basic problem is we can't attract GPs to replace the generation of GPs that's now retiring. What are you doing to solve that problem, fix that problem?
First of all, can I acknowledge the concerns from your listeners? I've spoken to people in the area and I know they're concerned.
At the moment, people have to travel from Listowel to Tralee weekends. Cathair Sáinn, at the far end of the Iveragh Peninsula, feelings that if there's no GP left, they'll have to travel to Killarney for healthcare.
It is a concern that's been raised with me, and it's a concern that's been raised with the with me by the doctors as well. I met some of the South Dock team in Killarney, as it happens, at the IMO conference about 2 weeks ago. One of the things they asked me to do was to convene a forum with the out-of-hours providers here in Kerry and around the country, with the department, with the HSE, and that's something we've taken away. That's something we're going to act on. I think there's more can be done in terms of out-of-hours. I think there's more supports that can be provided, and I think there's learnings that the different out-of-hours providers can take from each other. Critically, though, the issue is we need more GPs. Ultimately, that's what this comes down to. There's a few things we're doing in the short term. So, for example, we're working with the Irish College of General Practitioners on attracting in international GPs. South Africa is one of the countries. And we're saying, look, come over here, we'll sort out your permits, we'll make it easy for you to come over. Come and work in Killarney, or come and work in different parts of Kerry. Come and work in rural areas. At the same time, the structural change is we are tripling the number of GPs in training. Now, in several years' time, obviously, that'll mean an awful lot more fully qualified GPs. But even in the meantime, what it means is GP practices around the country can start bringing in. These are doctors, but they're training GP doctors, and they can help in terms of patient care as well. So we need to acknowledge that this is a real issue and then take very decisive action, which is what we're doing.
Okay, let me ask you finally on this, because I know you're probably pushed for time, but in relation to a story out this morning in relation to the waiting time for children and child and adolescent mental health services, we have had our own story here in Kerry, which still goes on. Will mental health in general be properly funded and developed in relation to where the services need to be? That's notwithstanding the individual circumstances of what has happened here in Kerry, and then there's a review of the situation in North Kerry as well, but that it will finally get the funding. And again, recruitment comes into that too as well, the services they need, so that, you know, adolescents won't be waiting 12 and more weeks.
Yes is the answer. And the answer, Gerry, is in the second part of your question. The issue is not funding. The funding is there. There are many mental health posts, including CAMHS posts, child and adolescent mental health posts, funded around the country. The issue is hiring. So there's a few things we have to do. First of all, can I make one point that we all miss sometimes in discussing this? CAMHS, which is the psychiatry-led service, is really for those with the most acute difficulties. And typically that's for about 1 in 50 children who have mental health, who need mental health support. 1 in 50.
Yeah.
The solution to a lot of this, actually, is the other 49 in 50 who don't need psychiatry. They might need counselling, or they might need less intensive therapies. The real challenge, as I see it, we'll come to CAMHS in a second, but the real challenge is CAMHS is being overloaded because the less intense services are not where they need to be. So Minister Mary Butler and myself are focused very much not just on CAMHS, but on youth mental health. That's the first thing. The second thing then is we do need the psychiatry-led approach. We've now put in place assistant national directors for youth mental health, and critically a clinical lead, because we've got, I think it's 73 or 79, I think it's whichever it is, 73 or 79 CAMHS teams around the country. They are psychiatry led, but those psychiatrists need more support. And as your listeners are all too aware, in some areas like both Kerry North and Kerry South, we need permanent, we need those roles permanently filled. Those psychiatrists need the kind of supports that haven't been in place to date, and that's what we're putting in place.
Okay, Minister, we're out of time, but thanks very much for taking time to talk to us. You're on the way to talk to nurses and see what they have to say in response to you. Just on that very brief point, are you concerned that they have voted for industrial action if they don't see progress made, the progress you're promising? What would that do to us next winter?
I'm not, because I am very confident that not only will progress be made, but progress is being made. There's an awful lot of progress being made. I spoke to a lot of the delegates last night, and they were, including the team from Kerry University Hospital, and they were really positively disposed towards this now. What we've sanctioned for this year, in 1 year, is the other half of safe staffing. The first half was sanctioned over 3 years, 2020, 2021 and 2022. This year, we're sanctioning the same amount as all those 3 years combined. So really, the focus now is on recruitment, hiring those nurses, getting them in situ, getting the staffing levels to where we all want them to be, both in the emergency departments and then in the wards, the medical wards and the surgical wards. So I'm confident that a lot of progress is being made. As I said, we've hired 6,200 additional nurses and midwives in the time of this government. It's a huge addition to the workforce. We're going to continue with that progress. And I believe, I believe it will be easier now to recruit because the HSE and the hospitals will be able to say, we are recruiting you into bigger teams, which are, quite frankly, it's a better environment to work in.
Okay. All right, Minister, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us on the programme this morning. That's Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. If you have a view on what he had to say about plans going forward, about investment, about the pinch points in our health service that need to be sorted out, we want to hear from you.